Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Reformers Reader. I'm Russ Belville, and today to discuss another book that's of import to the marijuana community, we've got DJ Jason Big Kush Berry joining us. He's the author of Married to Marijuana, My Love Affair with Weed and Hip Hop. And Big Kush, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Should I call you Big Kush, DJ Jason? How does this work?
I usually go by Big Kush J. That's usually
that works. Big Kush J works for me because I'm a big fan of Big Kush J's. So I think that'll work just fine. So the book is Married to Marijuana, My Love Affair with Weed and Hip Hop. And I'm a guy who came up in the late 80s, early 90s, listening to a lot of early hip hop, Cypress Hill, Wu-Tang, a lot of these groups. And of course, the dog father, Snoop Dogg. So talk about the book and what led you to writing this about this this love affair between hip hop and weed.
Well, I'm sure pretty much like many of your listeners, you know, I grew up, you know, like yourself within the hip hop culture. So growing up, listening to rap music and just wanting to be a part of the hip hop culture, a lot of that late 80s, early 90s rap music, you know, like you said, that Cypress, that Wu-Tang, that Nas, you know, was definitely heavy, heavy weed, you know, sprinkled, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, weed is definitely the drug of choice for the hip hop culture, I would say. Well, it used to be anyway. you know, so growing up, listening to the music, I just had a fascination with it. And, you know, I went from having a fascination with the music and with weed and moving into working within the music industry. So I actually had opportunity working in the industry with a lot of these rappers that, you know, for a long time, you know, I looked up to and listened to and just, you know, loved like everybody else. I was a fan first, you know, and then, you know, I had a chance to work in the industry. So it just kind of blew my mind. And then yeah, having that.
I was going to say, what was your first experience with marijuana? Did you get into hip hop first and then marijuana, or did marijuana lead you to hip hop?
Well, actually, my older brother, I happen to have an older brother who, you know, as I'm sure a lot of kids, or a lot of guys that have older siblings, you know, they kind of, you know, have to pal around with them or whatnot. So I was fortunate enough, I think I was 13, he was like 16, you know, he was hanging out with his guys, you know, my parents were like, yeah, take your brother with you, you know, like, you know, so we were off to the movies, but, you know, their usual ritual was, you know, to get some beer, roll up some J's, and then go to the movies. So, you know, as a, you know, my first experience, that was my first experience, hanging out with my older brother, going to the movie theater with him and his friends, actually, and getting high with him and his friends. And we went to go see Nightmare on Elm Street, if you could believe it.
Wow, wow, that would be fun. So part of the situation when we talk about marijuana and hip-hop, and especially dating back to the 90s hip-hop, was a lot of it being part of gang culture, about the underground market and trying to, you know, make a hustle, make a living. And now we've got legalization happening, and one of the complaints is that, you know, black folks were getting busted for this in the day and still to this day, but now that it's legalized, they're getting shut out of the legal industry. Now we got guys like Snoop Dogg and B-Real that have marijuana companies and are promoting their brands. What do you think of this evolution from it being, you know, gang culture and underground to being legal, and how has hip hop adopted to that?
Well, I think, like you said, exactly, like, you know, a lot of our bigger pioneers, especially on both sides within the cannabis industry as well as within the hip hop industry, have kind of stepped up and started to kind of pave the way with companies, as well as starting to, you know, show that within our industry, hey, this is legal. And even myself, you know, my last chapter of my book is called Black to the Future. You know what I mean? Where, you know, I pretty much, you know, say, hey, like, you know, this is legal now. You know, there's no reason why, you know, like you said, for years, this plant was sustaining our, you know, neighborhoods for years. You know what I mean? So now that it's becoming legal, there's no reason why we should be shut out. If anything, we should be the pioneers of this whole industry. So, you know, I encourage, you know, all my brothers and sisters, black, brown, Asian, yellow, whatever, like, you know, like, let's get into it. White people too. I mean, at the end of the day, it's for everybody to love and to have, you know what I mean? It's not for just one person, but you know, that's the nature of the plant itself, you know, love and to be shared. So, you know, I think, you know, it needs to happen.
Excellent. We're speaking with Big Kush J, DJ Jason Berry, and his book, Married to Marijuana, My Love Affair with Weed and Hip Hop. You can pick this up on Amazon and other fine book retailers. And in writing the book, is it just basically your stories, your background? What are people going to get? Give them a feel for what the contents of the book actually are.
You get a little bit of everything. You get a little bit of my story, you know, my little rags to riches story, in a sense, coming from a small town and going to the music industry and then gravitating from the music industry to the cannabis industry. You get a little bit of background of weed and hip hop and how it correlates to jazz music and just, you know, jazz and weed back in the day. You get my stories of, you know, me hanging out with Dr. Dre in his studio, me showing Raekwon his first grow room, you know, hanging out with, you know, these different guys on tour, you know, me going to jail overseas, like, you know, all kind of crazy shit. Like, oh yeah, like, you know, so, you know, if anybody knows, you know, smuggling weed is definitely, you know, something that we kind of do, or, you know, as young men, we have done in the past, you know.
It has been known to happen. So what was that small town?
Exactly.
What's that small town you come from, Big Kush J?
I'm originally from upstate New York, Rochester.
Okay, Rochester, New York.
It's up near Buffalo, yeah. It's about an hour away from Buffalo, about 2 hours away from Canada. So, yeah, we're nestled up there right now.
So it sounds as if you've got East Coast experience, you got West Coast experience. When I was coming up, that was the big deal, Tupac and Biggie, East Coast, West Coast. So let's settle a beef here. Who chiefs the hardest? Who's smoking the most weed, West Coast or East Coast?
West Coast, no doubt.
No doubt. West Side.
I'm from New York, you know, I love NY till I die, but I'd be lying if I said that West Coast doesn't chief the most. And I think it's just the nature, it's just because it's more readily available. You don't have to, you know, cower and you know, in your basement, or, you know, where, you know, you could almost, you know, literally smoke walking down the street here, you know. There's smoke everywhere, there's weed everywhere, you know. So, yeah.
It's quite a difference from, you know, back in the day when you'd see those first Snoop Dogg videos or Dr. Dre videos coming on TV, and they'd blur out the pot leaf logo they'd have, and they'd backmask if they said endo, right? You know, it had to be so censored.
Right.
And now today it's so open. Is there anything you miss about the old days and the way it was when things were illegal?
Well, you know what's funny is it's like, you know, it's like I still kind of look at it and, you know, like, yeah, it's legal in some cities and some states or whatnot, but it's still very illegal in a lot of other states. So in a lot of, you know, like New York, Georgia, just a lot of other areas is still, you know, very illegal. So, you know, a lot of other people are still feeling or still having to do the same things that they've done in the past. So I don't, you know, it's still not fully legal. And then not to mention, it's still not fully commercial either. Like, you know, we're not exactly buying weed cigarettes like, you know, like Newports at this point yet either. So, you know, I look at that as being, you know, that's legalization. That's, you know, when it gets fully corporate and all that whole side of it. And then when looking back at it, like, man, I remember when I used to buy a bag and roll my own joints and blunts and whatever, then it's like, wow, the contrast, I'm sure it'd be like, you know. But yeah, I think right now we're in such a sweet spot within time, within the industry, and just, you know, it's definitely a time to be nurtured in a sense. You know, it's like it's that baby infancy stages, like, you know, you don't want to just, you know, just go by too fast, you know, because we'll never have this time again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Again, the book is Married to Marijuana, My Love Affair with Weed and Hip Hop by DJ Jason, Big Kush J Barry. And this is a great read. I've checked out the online version of this. It was able to download. You can find this on Amazon, get it on your Kindle. And was there any difficulty in writing the book? Were there some things that were hard to reveal or that maybe would surprise us in this book?
I'm not a writer, first off.
that there would be something to overcome, I suppose.
That was a very huge obstacle to overcome, first of all. You know, obviously I can write, but, you know, I write proposals, you know, I'm a businessman, you know, that kind of thing. So having the ability to write and wanted to write, you know, and wanted to get these stories out, was one thing, but then being transparent was something else that I kind of had to, not necessarily overcome, but just to, you know, you take that deep breath, it's like almost jumping, like, oh, okay, I'm going to do this, like, you know, and then you do it, you know what I mean, or yeah, you don't do it, you know what I mean, so it was kind of like that vibe, like, you know, the roller coaster kind of vibe, like, even right now, it's like, you know, doing promo or you know, speaking with you, you know, interview about a book that I wrote. I never wrote a book before, and you know, so this is all brand new to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're doing fantastic. And one last question before we let you go, and that is a concern I always had when I'd see rappers, Snoop Dogg, Cypress Hill, guys making a lot of money off of rapping about weed, about, you know, making art about weed. And then I never saw them kicking back into trying to make it legal. Like when California went for Prop 64, it was Sean Parker, the Facebook billionaire, kicking in, you know, the six figures to make it happen, the seven figures to make it happen. And Be Real from Cypress Hill is actually opposing legalization, right? So to me, do you think the hip hop community, especially these artists, you know, freaking Dre's a billionaire now, aren't doing enough to try to make it legal and to try to free more people to have access to this plant?
Well, I mean, I think sometimes you're giving artists a little bit too much credit. You know what I mean? They're artists. You know, they hang out late at night in the studio. They're creative people. You know, and if you've been around creative people sometimes have bipolar, you know, personalities where they're into some things one day and then the next day they don't like it. They're not into it. Or I'm not saying everybody's like this by any means, but I'm just saying, you know, they're artists. Some artists aren't businessmen. You know, they don't see the future. They don't see the bigger picture. They just see what's literally in front of them or are able to just kind of live in their own bubble sometimes. So sometimes it's kind of art for artists to kind of step out of their little individual bubbles and see what's kind of really going on and say, this is how I want to impact society in a sense. You know, I mean, so maybe some are doing it behind closed doors because we all know still, like, you know, anytime that you step up, maybe sometimes, you know, as a black artist in this society, you get a target on your back.
Yeah, it's true.
So, you know, maybe it's not maybe the smartest thing to step up and say, yeah, I advocate, you know, marijuana legalization, because then maybe, you know, the DOJ starts to, you know, bring your file up and say, well, what's this guy talking about? Why is he so adamant about this? Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. So, yeah. Hey, you know, so there's maybe a variety of different reasons, but nonetheless, we're here, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and that's not to discount artists that are speaking honestly about what's happening in their world and what they know about marijuana.
Not at all. Exactly.
That helps immensely. And I want to give my thanks to you, Big Kush J, for doing the same thing by writing this book, Married to Marijuana, My Love Affair with Weed and Hip Hop. You are telling another one of these stories and letting people know it's okay to talk about this and that cool, accomplished people are cannabis consumers. Thanks so much for joining us here on Reformers Reader. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Let me, please, everybody go to marriedtomarijuana.net, check out the little blurb of the book. You can also check out the documentary that I have with me, which is called, with the same name, Married to Marijuana, that you can find on YouTube as well as on the site. And it's a documentary with me and with interviewing, all types of rappers, smoking weed with them, Schoolboy Q, Currency, Method Man, Raekwon, B-Real, just a host of rappers. So that's that. Check me out on my social media at Big Chris J, as well as at Married to MJ. So thank you. I appreciate everything, Russ. Appreciate it.
MarriedToMarijuana.net will have all the information people need. Thank you for joining us again, and good luck with the book.
Thanks.